Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living the vida locked down. And now we're free.
Yeah.
Yay. So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine and try to make some sense of it. Right, ladies, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, I'm drinking, because it's very fitting for our topic, wait till you get to that, the Devil's Corner Pinot Grigio. And just as a teaser for what the topic is, I have a burly water with a ship with lots of sails on the picture on the bottle of wine. So, yes, hint, hint.
Nice.
What do you got, Amy?
I'm spending the night at my mother's place. And so I'm literally five minutes around the corner from Sarah. So if I wasn't drinking right now, I'd just go around and go, knock, knock, bitch. but I cannot do that because I've got to do this podcast. So I packed all my shit in the car and got halfway here and then went, oh, God damn it, I left my wine at home. So I had to go and raid my mother's pantry, which is the size of somebody's bedroom. So
literally, yeah. I lost her mother in that pantry.
I don't know how, mate.
I could not find her. She was hiding down the very bottom underneath the shelf. I walked past her like five times.
Why was my mother hiding from Sarah, you ask? Many reasons. Many. Many.
We were playing hide and seek. Basic reasons.
Anyway, so I left my standard choices at home, and so then my mum's not a drinker, and people often, you know, meet me and decide, well, that's got to come from somewhere. Yeah, it didn't come from my mother. So, yeah, I wandered into her pantry, and I found a bottle of wine that is called St. Hugo's Eden Valley Chardonnay. For our long-time listeners, you will know Amy doesn't cope well on Chardonnay, and I am a chatty Cathy.
Yay!
So, strap in, bitches. Party on.
This is going to be a very long night. Thank God Amy's editing.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, but that's fine because I'm just going to get sick of my own shenanigans and leave them all in there. It's fine.
Well, tonight I forgot to go to the bottle shop as well. Well, I didn't leave my wine at home because I am at home, but I forgot to go to the bottle shop. But I, like Amy, am an alcoholic, so I have plenty of wine just laying around the place.
Well, actually, if you're an alcoholic, you usually don't have any wine lying around the place because if it's lying around, you drink it.
Usually you're stocked up because you're aware you're an alcoholic. So you make sure you have wine.
That's a functioning alcoholic name. Yeah. And we are.
Yeah.
Look at it functioning all over the place.
I am functioning on this floor right now. It's fine. So I'm drinking.
I'm functioning on this plane of existence, so.
I'm not.
Okay. What am I drinking again? So I'm drinking the Innocent Bystander Moscato. It is so good.
It is.
And local Victorian wine.
Yep. It's 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah. She knows she's timed it.
Yeah. Can get there and back in under an hour. Hey.
All right.
Alcoholic.
So, Amy, Miss Chatty Cathy, what is our topic for tonight?
It's about me drinking Chardonnay and nothing else. No, seriously.
Oh, okay. Ooh, fun time.
Fun times.
Our topic tonight is the Bermuda Triangle. Yes. The Bermuda Triangle is an area of mostly ocean that spans from Florida in the U.S. So if you're looking at it on a map, like if, for people who don't know, if you're looking at the U.S. on a map.
Let me Google this. What is a map for the explorer?
So if you look at the map, it is in the sort of like right-hand bottom corner of the US, to Bermuda, which is, it's kind of like Florida, but you keep going out to the ocean towards the right. Sorry, it's on the right, not on the left. God, I don't know my rights, my lefts. Yeah, Florida is on the bottom right-hand corner. Sorry. Bermuda is a little bit more right from that, and then Puerto Rico is like south, so down, and then back across to Florida. So it makes this like triangle of ocean. Yeah. Now, not everyone agrees on what defines the area, but that's basically where it is. Some writers have given different boundaries to the triangle, with a total area varying from 1,300,000 to 3,900,000 square kilometers. Or, if you're our American listeners, 500,000 miles to 1.5 million square miles.
That's
It's far.
It's a bit of discrepancy. Just mildly, like.
Yeah. Anyway, so consequently. Oh, fuck. This is going to go well. The determination of which accidents occurred inside the triangle depends on who reported them. Now, the area has become famous for the disappearance of many ships and aircraft under mysterious circumstances. The vicinity of the Bermuda Triangle is amongst the most heavily traveled shipping lanes in the world, with ships frequently crossing through it for ports in the Americas, Europe, and the Caribbean islands. Cruise ships and pleasure craft regularly sail through that region, and it's also used for commercial and private aircraft around it, or flying over it. So, what causes some of these things, you must ask? Well,
yes.
Some of the hypothetical explanations for the disappearances of ships and aircraft in the area are paranormal explanations. Dun, dun, dun.
100%.
Yeah. Triangle writers have used a number of supernatural concepts to explain the events. One explanation pins the blame on leftover technology from the mythical lost continent of Atlantis. Other writers think maybe it's UFOs. Some of the other ones. So there's a lot of natural explanations. So I'll just quickly go through these because there's quite a few. So one of the natural explanations is compass variations. So apparently there's compass problems that often happen in triangle incidents. While some have theorized that unusual local magnetic anomalies may exist in the area, there's been none found. Science says no. Well, I think it's because sometimes when there's been problems, they've, you know, if they've gone, oh, my compass is going all over the place, maybe that was an excuse for, well, sorry, I drank dinner. I don't know.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Were they on the ship just fucking, why is the rum gone?
Why is the rum all
I gone? Was using my compass to find more rum, and it just kept saying going south. So I think this is broken. Another explanation is the Gulf Stream. So that's a major surface of current primarily driven by the thermohaline circulation that originates in the Gulf of Mexico and then flows through to the Straits of Florida into the North Atlantic. In essence, it's a river within the ocean. And so like a river, it does carry objects. So if something sinks or crashes in that area, it'll be pretty hard to find because it just gets whipped away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Human error is another natural, I suppose, causation. So one of the most cited explanations in official inquiries is that, well, human error. The other thing that they often quote is that there is violent weather in that area. So hurricanes are pretty powerful and storms are pretty crazy because it's sort of a tropical area. And they've historically cost thousands of lives and caused billions of dollars worth of damage. All right, bear with me with this one because this one's hard to explain. So An explanation for some of the disappearances has focused on the presence of large fields of methane hydrates, and that's a form of natural gas, on continental shelves. Laboratory experiments carried out in Australia have proven that bubbles indeed can sink a model ship by decreasing the density of water. Any wreckage consequently rising to the surface would be rapidly dispersed by the Gulf Stream. So it's like a gas bubble. And then it, once it takes the ship, then it just fucks off with it.
Because the underground river. I get that.
Yeah.
Giant natural fart river. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With a river. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So it's been hypothesized that the periodic methane eruptions, sometimes called mud volcanoes, may produce regions of frothy water that are no longer capable of providing adequate buoyancy for ships. So it just goes, takes them. Yeah. Doesn't explain the aircraft, but this is the ships.
Well, methane rises, and that's why, like, the ozone layer is getting thinner. So, I mean, eventually, like, if methane rises, it'll hit a plane.
I couldn't find very much about that I understood. Because I'm a dumbass. So anyway, so if this was the case, such an area forming around the ship would sink the vessel very rapidly and without warning. Yeah. So it just encompass it and then gone, and then out by the Gulf Stream. So you would never know, and there would be no warning. There would be no like SOSs or anything like that. It'd just be fucking gone. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to launch into my segment, which is not one of the most well-known tales of the Bermuda Triangle, but is one that I read and I thought, oh, God, this is going to be us. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay, this is the tale of the disappearance of a yacht called Witchcraft. On December the 22nd in 1967, a cabin cruiser named Witchcraft left Miami with her captain, Dan Brack, and his friend, Father Patrick Horgan, on board. The two gentlemen's journey on the 23-foot luxury yacht was to enjoy the wonderful view of the Miami Christmas lights. They went Christmas light looking on a ship.
Yeah.
That is some dedication.
Yeah.
That's some dumb shit we would do.
Yep. What year was this again?
1967.
Okay.
Yeah. So, however, after reaching just 1 mile offshore, the Coast Guard received a call from the captain saying that his ship had hit something, but there was no damage. It's fine. Indicating that the occupants of the vessel needed help to be towed to shore, the Coast Guard set off immediately and reached the area where they got where they should have found the vessel, so where the distress call came from, in about 19 minutes, but nothing was there. So they got out there in 19 minutes. So the area where the ship should have been was completely deserted, and no sign of any ship or anything had been been there at all in like the last couple of minutes. So what was most intriguing about this story is that this particular cruiser was virtually unsinkable, not to mention there was numerous life-saving devices present aboard, including life jackets, lifeboats, flares, distress signal devices, like you name it, it was there. So none of it was used because they didn't find like anything in the water. So when they looked around, like, you know, if you fire off a flare, there's usually a cap around or something. There's usually something. You usually find something. Yeah. If it was sinking, if they hit something and it was sinking, the lifeboats would have gone and then there would have been wreckage. So there was literally nothing. So Coast Guard officials searched hundreds of square miles of the ocean over the next few days, but were unsuccessful in finding anything. Nothing of the ship has been found to this day.
What?
Nothing. So, what did we learn here, ladies? Don't take your luxury yacht into the Bermuda Triangle to look at fucking Christmas lights. Because what happens? You end up real fucking lost. I dare say they probably, I don't know, at that time, I'm going to speculate and just say, well, I don't know, maybe they were together and they just wanted to run off. And maybe they lived, like, their lives in, I don't know, Cuba, the Caribbean or somewhere beautiful, just in love.
Yeah, and, like, They just disappeared because they want to. And some people do that. They just fucking up and disappear because they want to. Yeah. And they're gone. Yeah. And it just happens. Just one day, boom, gone.
Gone. So, yeah. However, this came up a few times when I was doing my research, and I just couldn't get past the fact that these two dumbasses went out on a yacht to look at Christmas lights. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I see nothing wrong with looking at Christmas lights on a yacht.
They can't have used the flares at all because 19 minutes, the flare would still have been lit, wouldn't it? Like,
I don't think so, but I would have thought that what they would have done is sent a radio signal to say, we've hit something, there doesn't seem to be any damage, but we're going to need help towing the boat back. So I would have thought that, I don't know, if I was out there and I've only got a very limited knowledge of these things, after about 10 minutes, I'd set the first flare off just because I know that they would be launching. Yeah. And I'm not that far off the shore. So first 10 minutes, I'd probably set the flare off so they know I'm here. And then maybe, depending on how many flares I'd have, maybe every 15, 20 minutes after that, I don't know. If I hadn't already got drunk and set them off as fireworks, that is. So okay. I don't know. I don't know how that would have worked. But there was no – if they were taking on water, surely they would have, like, launched a lifeboat or they would have been found in the water because it only took them 19 minutes to get out there.
Yeah.
So they would have found them in the water or something, you would think. Yeah. No, just vanished. Just utterly fucking vanished. Anyway, that was me.
My head's still going, how?
But how?
Where?
But how? Why?
Where the fuck are they? It was only 1967. Where the fuck are they?
Where are they?
Where are
aliens.
They? Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
The aliens took the entire ship. That makes sense.
Yeah. I still think that they probably just disappeared to an island off the Caribbean.
Now that I've learned about that methane thing and the river, I'm guessing they hit the methane and we boom, down, gone. Just fucking sucked into the ocean.
Well, bye.
That makes a lot of sense, and it kind of fits in with mine too. But, you know.
Not at all.
Look, guys, what have we learned from doing this podcast? Don't let science get in the way of a good story.
Yes. Jesus, science.
Come on, science. Everything. This is a comedy podcast we're trying to do. Kill away.
For fuck's sake.
Stupid science.
Keyword, they're trying. Okay, so I'm going to put in my disclaimer. I am so sorry I plagiarized this whole thing. None of my words that I'm about to say are really mine.
Chong chong.
In a criminal court. You know, I never watch that show. I just
How? I've seen every episode.
Fucking bored me.
And so anyway. Many of the spin-offs. I've seen like nearly all the spin-offs.
My heart just broke. You broke my heart in the middle of the fucking podcast.
You'll survive.
Sarah's the human version of a methane bubble. She's just
I'll just come up and go poof. And now you're down.
And now Bianca's sunk and she's in the Gulf Stream. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Enjoy that stream, Bianca. You can do the backstroke. Anyway.
Bye.
You're a cunt. Bye.
All right. So how could the biggest ship in the U.S. Navy vanish without a trace?
Ooh.
This was the question many people asked and probably still asking in March 1918.
Ooh. Actually, before you go on,
already yeah, read this story.
Something I found when I was researching, the U.S. Navy don't recognize the Bermuda Triangle as that. Like, they don't, that's not the name, like, it doesn't exist to them.
No, and then most merchant shipping like logs and stuff like that, maps, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
No, it's not.
I was really surprised that they don't, like, yeah, it's the Bermuda Triangle. Like, because that's what I refer to it. That part of the ocean is the Bermuda Triangle, the U.S. Navy. Yeah. No.
It's not officially recognized. It's just that, like, things like the natural occurrences, like with the Gulf Stream and the methane thing, they're the things that, like, science can prove, but it doesn't necessarily explain everything that's gone on there. So, you know, we're free to speculate.
Prove that aliens exist. So,
yeah.
You know what, Sarah? I actually looked for a freaking story about aliens and the Bermuda Triangle, and I think I might have come across like one or two, but they've all been so heavily debunked, I couldn't even read them.
Yeah.
That's anyway, go on about your Navy ship, Sarah.
Okay, so this Navy ship. So, yeah, the enormous USS Cyclops disappeared on a voyage between the West Indies to Baltimore. And a century on, we still have no answers.
Okay.
So was it like, was it, when you say it was massive, was it like a, what's it, a, they wouldn't have had like aircraft carriers and stuff like that in 1918. No,
it was like a steamship. So the USS Cyclops was nearly 550 feet long with a crew of 306 people and around 11,000 tons of, I can't even say this word,
manganese.
Or.
It's just kind of scratch like a bit in the center of your brain.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it's an ore. Like coal.
Yeah, it is.
It's a freaking big ass coal ship. It was really designed, yeah, it was kind of a to and from ship delivering cargo, passengers. It did everything.
They call them packet ships. That's what it's called. Yeah, packet ship.
Oh.
It's in my segment, don't worry.
Oh, it's in your segment. Well, I don't know. They had another name for this one.
We're getting there, Bianca. Shut up.
We're getting there. They mentioned another one in this plagiarized thing that I have stolen. So, okay. Yeah.
Do you want to just give up and let Bianca do her segment, or she can just keep butting in? Like.
Anyway, yes. So Bianca, I love you, but shut the fuck up.
With this devil's corner? Like, I tell you.
Devil's corner. Anyway, so the ship had been sailing successfully since 1910, travelling between the Baltic Sea, the Caribbean and Mexico, and assisting with moving around coal around the world, helping refugees.
Oh, yeah.
But in 1917, when the Americans entered World War I, the USS Cyclops became a key naval asset, transporting troops and coal to fuel other ships over the world.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she was helpful.
Yeah.
In 1918, in March, the ship was given a new cargo, which was tons and tons of ore used in steel making. So she left Brazil loaded with the ore and then voyaged to Barbados to resupply for the long journey home to Baltimore. The last known message from the ship said simply, weather fair, all well. Pretty simple. Mm. She'll be good. Lovely day. But on the ninth.
We have all just left Barbados and we're fine.
We're fine.
But. Don't send me any messages for the next 3 hours because my brain can't take it. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, but on the nine-day journey, something went awry and no one from the ship was ever seen or heard from again. They vanished without an SOS.
Okay.
So in a feature published a couple of years after the ship's disappearance, the Santa Fe magazine described the strangeness of the disappearance. So, yeah, usually when, you know, a ship disappears or sinks or something, they do leave behind evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were here, but we sunk. So you'd find fucking something.
Usually. There's usually stuff that floats to the surface or, like, washes up on shore and, somewhere.
But there was nothing with this. Yeah, absolutely nothing. It was just the ship disappeared without a trace.
I'm going to theorize that they just decided not to ever leave Barbados. Because, like, why would you?
Yeah.
No, because, everything was said, like, everything was done. They were sent off. Goodbye now. You go do help with the war.
Yeah, but maybe they circled back and went, we'd rather stay here.
I don't think you're going to miss a ship that big.
Nah, it's fine.
They just painted it blue and just went, we're now the sky. We blend. It's fine. No one will see us.
They just put a cow print around it and put it in someone's paddock. Went, it's a cow. It's fine. Move on.
That cow is steaming and slightly leaning towards one side. What's going on?
And it's fucking massive.
Have you not
massive.
Seen cows before? Calm down.
Barbados cows.
This is how big cows grow if you don't kill them for burgers.
Yeah. Right? It's a heifer.
And it might have gotten into a crop or two, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah. So some reports say, you know, just the crazies. So a giant sea monster came along and grabbed it.
Cthulhu.
All the men, everything, just grabbed it, took it down.
Yeah.
Cracking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Or it could have been, you know, aliens.
Well, why would they take an entire ship that big? What are they going to do with it up in space? Paint it black and white and put it in a field?
Yes.
Yes. That's what aliens do.
They're showing it to the other aliens. I picked this up from Earth. It's a heifer.
Yeah.
It's a heifer. Not for milking. No, no. Please don't touch it.
No.
So, yeah. So it was a whole big disappearance of this ship has gone missing without even an SOS.
Wow.
So through the decades, there have been a flurry of sometimes sensational theories. Oh, I love how she's written this. Again, I have plagiarized.
We're going to give full credit to the website, that Sarah stole this from, because it was actually really well written.
It was so well written. And same with Bianca's.
absolutely, 100%.
Well, it was one of more than 100 ships and planes that have mysteriously disappeared in the so-called Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the region is roughly bound by Bermuda, Miami, Puerto Rico. Was the ship eaten by some beast of the deep, carried off as evidence by UFOs, or simply succumbed to a storm?
Could have been the Solar Warden, early days, you know, hadn't signed the treaty yet, just taking shit willy-nilly. Yeah, like I said, they took
Don't sign this treaty, we're taking something random.
From this section.
Fuck with all your people. Yeah. And randomly take shit.
Of the ocean, we will take shit from it.
Yeah.
Our area.
And then we're going to mess up some country folk in America just to make them seem crazy. Yeah. Come on.
So, because of the time period, people did wonder whether or not the ship had succumbed to a German submarine.
Well, yeah, wouldn't that have been the first thing? But I suppose there's no debris.
Yeah.
No, there would be debris.
And there would be debris.
Even if they had got hit in the middle of the night, they still have night watch and stuff like that. So the minute they were hit, they couldn't have been blown completely out of the water because weapons of the time weren't big enough to just completely blow something like that out of the water. So they would have got hit and then someone would have called an SOS or something, you would have thought.
Unless the ship was taken over and they sailed it off into the middle of the night, far off into the distance. But I don't know if they had trackers back then. I don't think they had trackers.
I don't think they would have had the technology to A, sneak up on it, and B, just disappear with it. So.
Well, it was a submarine.
Well,
submarines kind of could sneak up on you.
I don't know.
It would have to be so big to get a ship that big and get it. No, I just not. Just,
I don't know.
It would have to be a fleet of submarines, and that would cause all sorts of alarms.
And I don't know that there could have been that many soldiers on submarines, to take down a whole ship of people.
Yeah.
That's a bit bizarre.
Well, actually, submarines can hold a fair few people, and there was only 306 members of the crew on. Yeah.
Now, I don't know that they could carry 306 people.
I don't know. I'm going to Google this during Bianca's segment. So let's just...
Feel free to interrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, submarines can carry this many people. Thanks, mate. I'm in 1854, okay? So we're no fucking submarines, all right?
I will do that. Don't you worry. So, yeah.
And if she goes silent, that means I was right.
Yeah. So, yeah, nothing materialized out of that. Others pointed to the captain. So months earlier, some members of the crew claimed that the captain, George W. Worley, was a drunk. Same mate, same.
Well, he's a captain. Sorry, that's like pot, kettle, cunt. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
The captain was a drunk. Oh, I'm shocked. My monocle.
Anyway, so yeah, they claimed he was a drunk, unsuitable to steer the ship.
But why was he driving it? He was a captain. Captains don't drive ships.
Well, back then they did. So there were even reports of a minor mutiny staged upon the ship.
Defended
Worley of these charges, and he returned to his command with apparently little fanfare. So the US Navy says in its official statement about the Cyclops, "The disappearance of this ship has been one of the most baffling mysteries in the annals.
Yeah.
Anyway, of the Navy. All attempts to locate her have proven unsuccessful."
No shit.
Or else I wouldn't be fucking reading this. But some still cling to investigations, particularly those with personal connections to the ship. Marvin Barish is a descendant of one of the firefighters aboard the ship. And, yeah, he spent a lot of time researching its history, painstakingly gathered all the Navy reports, ship's logs, and any other freaking evidence he could scrounge out, trying to find out, you know, what the fuck happened to this ship and his ancestor. So the whole existence of the ship apparently has started to be swept under the rug. Like, nope, sorry.
Well, then the ship aliens, never because as we know from our aliens episode, the government swept everything under the rug. I mean, Area 51 didn't fucking exist until what was like 2016 or something. It was just like, yeah, cool, bro. We knew it was there.
Yes.
He's literally one dude standing at the fence going, "Hey, government, does this exist?" "No, it doesn't exist. I'm standing on it, though."
It still doesn't exist.
You've got a letterbox. It says Area 51.
It wasn't like it was lost in a glorious battle. It just kind of fell off the face of the earth. So... Barish has his own suspicions about what happened to the lost ship. A series of malfunction failures. Sarah is having a malfunction failure. Mechanical failure. And the crew's unusually large heavy load that they're not used to carrying. And, you know, the unpredictable weather. So he thinks that all of that could have possibly had, you know, something to do with it, which more than likely. But yeah, so let's see. Yeah, so despite his misgivings, Barish remain sitting here drinking my wine going, "Get some new glasses. You can't fucking see shit." Retains some hope that the ship will be discovered one day. I doubt it. Oh, maybe.
Can I ask a question you're not going to know the answer to?
No.
So the stuff that they were carrying.
You're still going to do it, are you?
Yeah.
Tell you.
That part of the sentence was rhetorical. Anyway, this manganese or whatever it is that they were carrying, was that flammable?
No.
Manganese is not flammable.
Because I read another one about a ship that was carrying something that they didn't believe to be flammable but at the time. And it's likely now we know a little bit more about the substance that they were carrying that it could have just fucking erupted into flames and burned the whole thing down and there would be nothing left of it. So they stopped carrying that in ships. They stopped carrying that around.
No, manganese is for like health benefits. So you take it, it's a trace mineral. So it is a type of ore, but it's actually vital for the human body. So it actually like contributes like
magnesium.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're not all in an ore form, so like rocks.
Yeah, and it's also good for building shit. So
yeah, so it's not like it's not flammable. It's not the train of thought you were on. Get off that train. Get on a new one. Yeah,
I'm getting on the ship.
Yeah, get on the ship.
He retains some hope that the ship will be discovered, especially with all the new technologies that are coming out. You know, and there is currently fewer and fewer lost shipwrecks every year. We're finding new ships,
but
yeah, well, you know, maybe we're not looking for planes. We're just looking for the ships, okay? Planes come later.
We lost 60 years ago. Yeah. This is a good way of using our technology. Yeah.
This is where we need like our millions of dollars to go. Yeah.
So, yeah, he just wants the ship found. He wants, you know, resolution for all those people who lost families and loved ones of the 309 people that were on board.
But he wouldn't have known any of those people, though.
Yeah, like, isn't it cooler to say, my family member disappeared mysteriously? That's a far cooler story than, they found the ship, like, 40 years later. Yeah, it's at the bottom of the Marina Trench, like, just fucking there.
And you can see all the these, like, you know, bits of skeletons and bodies and stuff like that that are, like, you know, painfully trying to escape and, you know, they clearly couldn't. Yeah, no thanks. I'd just rather them disappear into the night, especially considering they would be relatives that there's no possible way that I would have known them or my mum either.
Yeah, you know, some people just like closure, okay?
It would not bring me closure. It would bring me more questions. Well,
Craig. He will bring this dude closure, so shut the fuck up. He wants the closure. Let him find the ship. So that was
I think it's Amy and myself.
That article there was written by Natasha Frost. Brilliant article.
Good work, Natasha. Well done.
Amazing.
Thank you, Natasha.
So
at you on social media.
Yeah, thank you. If you have it, I mean, you could have disappeared on a ship or something by now. We don't know.
Okay, so I've written underneath just something I found on a different site. So a couple of years ago, some evidence came to light as to what might have happened. So it turns out that the ship was only running on one of its two engines at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, so and with the new cargo, the ship was actually sitting lower in the water.
Oh.
And it was listing.
I've got this image in my head that one engine is going, so like one rudder's going. So it's like going around in circles, getting lower and lower and tipping, like slowly. But it's like going in circles. And like, guys, everyone go to the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So with the whole, you know, one engine working, sitting low in the water, the ship's listing, and the fact that you're going through the Bermuda Triangle, which has the most unpredictable weather fucking patterns, it's believed that a rogue wave could have just hit the ship. The cargo could have shifted, causing the entire ship to go down.
Yeah,
but it's not, is it that deep there? Like, the ship was quite large. You would see it. I mean,
we should have found it.
Yeah.
There is a trench that it could have slipped into where it would be hidden.
But now, though?
Yeah, I understand that there's a lot more of the ocean. We know more about space than we do the ocean. Yeah. Like,
we've explored more of space than we have of our ocean.
Yeah.
So, that's the Puerto Rico Trench.
Very beast, and you don't go in the nature.
I don't know how deep the Puerto Rico Trench really is, but, yeah, if it's in there, it could be. Okay, I'll Google that.
How deep is the Puerto Rico Trench? It doesn't
matter because none of us have any sort of reference as to how deep it would be anyway. But I suppose the other thing is that even if they had said, well, it could have gone in there, who's paying the cost to send the fucking crew out there with modern technology to go and find this fucking thing? Does anyone still care apart from this Barish guy? No. Who's going to fund this? No one fucking cares. Okay. So, of course.
People sent, things down for the Titanic and shit.
Yeah, but that was the Titanic. It was a bit different.
You know, I think people just want to solve a mystery.
Well, so that's the thing. It costs a lot of money. So if it had gone into that trench, even though it might not have been as deep as some people thought, then maybe they just never found it because no one really fucking looked.
8,600 meters.
I don't know. I have no, miles. No reference. It's like 8 km. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's pretty deep.
That's pretty deep, but like it's not as deep as like it's deep enough that we would know what's down there.
Yeah, well we should.
Yeah, we should know what's there. Oh, so no. Strange. It's not there. It's aliens. Aliens sucked it up. It's on the dark side of the moon where we can't see, and it's just like there, painted black and white. Be careful.
Can't fucking see it.
Yeah.
We're just looking up there going, nothing's up there except for that really abnormally large cow.
And, yeah, and the aliens have just, like, got, you know, scarecrows and stuff like that, just, like, built this set of a paddock. Just like, yeah, it's just us aliens, you know, and our farms. Hey, we're not doing anything suspicious.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, God. But that was one theory that what possibly could have happened, especially if it's listing. I mean.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Bianca. What do you got for us tonight? And mind you, I'm going to do this. Let me open up another tab. How many people could a German submarine carry in World War One? Okay, go, Bianca.
No, specifically 1918. Specifically.
Yeah. Specifically. Okay. Go, Bianca.
Not specifically. That's a not different question.
And it's got no, and that's nowhere near the Bermuda Triangle. Just facts here, people. Facts.
Just saying.
All people. Right. Let me take you back to 1854. A 3-mast schooner. I love that word. Every time I see the word schooner, my brain just goes to that scene in fucking Mallrats where the kid's like, oh, a schooner. And the guy's like, ha, 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 you dumb bastard, it's a yacht. A schooner is a yacht. The Easter Bunny isn't real. Every time I see the word schooner, my brain goes there. All right, so I've tried to change the word schooner to ship, but I may have left a few in. All right, so a 3-mast schooner named the Ellen Austin was built in Damariscotta, Maine. It was built of white oak and measured 210 feet long, which I think is 65 metres for us anyway. When the ship was completed for the Tucker family of Wiscasset, Maine, it weighed 1,812 tonne. So it's a fair-sized ship.
Same. Yep.
Same. Yeah. I'm pretty close to 1,812 tons, I'll tell you.
Pretty close. After lockdown.
After lockdown. Yeah. So in early 1855, the Ellen Austin sailed from Damariscotta, Maine to Savannah, Georgia. During the journey, the crew encountered the Florence, a limping ship that had lost its mast in a severe gale. Captain Wood and the crew of the Florence were rescued by the Ellen Austin and brought to port in Savannah in April of 1855. The following month, the Ellen Austin departed Savannah, bound for Liverpool, with 2,397,817 pounds of cotton cargo. And it was
That's a lot of cotton. Because cotton doesn't weigh shit.
Yeah, it is the largest cargo of cotton ever declared at that port, ever.
Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. So by 1856, the Ellen Austin was serving as a packet ship for the Patriotic Line under Captain William H. Garrick. While working for the Patriotic Line, the ship ran between Liverpool and New York City. And this is where shit gets a bit cray. Just saying, things aren't good from here. So on February 19th, 1857, the New York Tribune announced brutality at sea.
Brutality at sea, I say.
How dare they?
Yeah.
How dare you?
No, and so Justice Butterfield was involved. So they announced this while reporting the gruesome details of abuse and torture employed by Captain Garrick and his crew during the ship's November 1956 journey. Okay.
Masculinity.
Oh, I know. The report said Captain Garrick knocked Thomas Campbell down with heavy wire rope and then beat him over the back and shoulders, lacerating his body, and also inflicted two severe wounds upon his head.
Rude.
Yeah. According to the report, that actually wasn't enough. Not satisfied with his own brutality, the captain set on two large ferocious dogs who tore and mutilated his legs.
Oh my god, this guy's a psycho.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. The papers declared measures would be taken for the arrest of Captain William H. Garrick, his first mate, the boatswain.
No, bosun.
Bosun? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, bosun.
Boatswain.
No, mate, bosun.
Bosun.
That's right, isn't it, Sarah?
Is it bosun?
It's bosun, isn't it?
I don't know. Probably. Bosun sounds right.
It's bosun.
Sorry, I'm still trying to find information. Keep telling me how many submarines were sunk.
All right. So, however, the measures did not appear to stick. As the New York Tribune announced in August of 1857, so Garrick was still the captain of the Allan Austin. So from 1857, the Allan Austin started bringing immigrants to the USA from England.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This was fraught with several quarantines, the boat having to be evacuated due to smallpox every single time they arrived in New York. So from Liverpool to New York, it was a year. You go round. It was a year. So every year, they get to New York and they would have a boat full of smallpox.
Yeah, that's pretty common, I think, for the time.
Yeah, yeah. But in November of 1859, the Allan Austin sailed to New York from Liverpool. The ship arrived in New York of July of 1860, this time with sick passenger Robert Bulmore, who died of hepatation of the lungs. Hepatation of the lungs is where your lungs turn into the same consistency as your liver and can no longer hold air.
Oh, they've gone to sponge.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So during this same journey to New York, officers of the Allan Austin were also accused of tying the arms and knees of a passenger together and passing a stick between them before rolling him along the deck like a bale of goods.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I know. I know.
Oh, my God.
The Richmond Dispatch, which is another newspaper, they said, this ship, it is said, seldom arrives in port without similar charges being made by passengers and crew of violent usage on the part of the officers.
They're really lucky that there wasn't a massive mutiny aboard and then they were just, like, taken over and fucking kicked off the end of the boat.
I know, but I think the whole, like, from what I could tell, like, I had to have this backstory because I was reading it and I was like, no, I need all this backstory. Like, I haven't even got to the Bermuda Triangle stuff yet. Like, this is just too interesting. Like, the whole crew was in on it. Everybody was in on it. It's disgusting. Toxic masculinity.
And just people being cunts.
And people being cunts.
This was the style of now, Sarah.
And that is also the style of now. People being cunts.
So the New York Times, they also said the officers of the Allan Austin have a very unenviable notoriety for alleged cruelty to their men, and that of the vessel has scarcely ever entered port without complaints being made in our police courts against them for cruel and inhuman treatment. Second mate Frederick Hodges was it exam? Yeah, examined. Oh God, I haven't got glasses on, people. On charges of cruelty for beating passenger Henry Jones on the voyage from Liverpool. But the district attorney's office, like, totally threw it out because it was not a criminal offence under the United States laws. You know that whole the ocean is its own law thing?
I was just about to say that. It's probably because a lot of these happened on international waters and there was no international criminal court at the time.
Yeah, and it was like 1870.
Yeah, like you could do whatever the fuck you like out there.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah, so look, eventually after many incidences where the Ellen Austin, so the other thing, she, I don't know what shifts are she's, but they are, the Ellen Austin. Yeah. She actually caused a lot of damage when she was coming into ports and stuff.
driving, whoopsie, took out a port.
Yep. Yeah. She ran into several other ships several times. Yeah.
And who said women were bad drivers? That is a lie. Man, steering that woman.
Some good names. Oh, see if I can. There was the Troubadour. I love that. The Troubadour.
The Troubadour. She ran into
him. Yeah. Yeah. Just full ran into them. Yeah. No, you know the you know how like ships have that, you know, usually like a beautiful woman tits out at the front?
Yeah.
Yeah, just completely fucking snapped it off.
Yeah, that's the reason why we're not allowed to have a boat, because have you seen that scene in Forrest Gump where he just jumps off the end because he wants to see Lieutenant Dan? It just fucking cleans up all the ships. Whoopsie.
Exactly. Yeah. Obviously, after this, I don't know what happened to, to Captain What's-His-Face Garrick. It's just because all the records from back then are very sketchy. So as much information as we have, he just sort of disappeared into the ether. So the Ellen Austin got a new captain, Captain Baker. So now we're heading into the incident. So the Ellen Austin departed from London on December 5th, 1880, bound for New York. Several weeks into its journey, the Ellen Austin came across an unidentified schooner drifting just north of the Sargasso Sea. The Sargasso Sea is that's part of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
So all of this happened just outside of the Bermuda Triangle, but it's sort of blamed on the Bermuda Triangle, okay? So this unidentified schooner was listless and sailing an erratic path. Captain Baker,
Like, it's not zigzagging across the ocean. How can you tell it's erratic?
Well, clearly it's just, you know, it's not zigzagging, but it is swaying a little.
Yeah, it's hitting the rumble strips in the ocean going zzz.
Yeah. Also known as dolphins.
And Cthulhu's many arms. That bitch ain't heavy. Captain Baker of the Ellen Austin commanded his crew to follow and observe folly.
Let's just see where it goes. Let's just follow it. It'll be fun. Yeah. Trust me.
For 2 days. Yeah. Lest the bad ship be a trap. That's trap.
It's trap.
Yeah. Gotta watch it for at least 2 days to make sure it's not a trap. I think that's a lesson learned there, ladies, right? We've got to watch it for at least 2 days to make sure it's not a trap.
We have an attention span for 4 minutes. How are we going to follow something for 2 days?
Without seeming like stalkers.
Or finding a pub along the way and then just abandoning everything.
Oh, yeah. We're over that person. Well, whoever we were following, we're done. We're moved on.
Sarah's sitting in the back going, we were following someone?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I'm reading about submarines. What's going on?
It's been a long time, Sarah. You've clearly found out that I might be right.
No, it's been a long time because I found out a lot about submarines. It's just no one's told me how many people could be carried in a submarine.
Well, it's really easy, mate. Find one where it sunk and then figure out how many died.
It hasn't told me.
Oh, God.
It just tells me many submarines were shot down in fucking World War One. I'm like, that's great. But how many people were on each submarine?
Yeah, cool.
They're quite large. All right,
keep going, Bianca. We're going on the tangent train.
Yeah, we are. We are. So after 2 days with no activity of movement from the mysterious vessel, the captain was convinced it was safe to proceed closer. The Ellen Austin moved within hailing distance. They didn't yell like DTF or anything like that. It's okay. When the ship still failed to respond, the captain gathered four of his men, rowed toward the abandoned ship, because there was no response to the hails, the men boarded the ship, but they also boarded them with weapons drawn, just in case.
But there was only four of them. Why did they send the captain over there? That's dumb.
Yeah, no, but the captain always goes down with the ship, so the captain always goes. The captain was first, and he boarded, and he again hailed the missing crew. Hello there! Anybody on board?
Hey!
The captain's log. I have to say it like that.
Hey!
Hello there! And again, there was no response, probably because they were laughing.
The next time you guys turn up at my house, can you press my door buzzer and go, hello there, is anybody on board?
Definitely.
Yeah, done deal. There was no response. And upon inspection, the vessel appeared to be shipshape and in reasonably well-maintained condition. Its sails were furled and tattered from exposure, which is expected, but the vessel's rigging was intact and there was no sign of any violence, nor were there any sign of crew. The only things missing were the ship's log, its nameplates, and for some reason, like, they'd been removed from the bow, from the outside. Fucking hell.
I know what's happened here. See, this has been stolen and cunts have gone on a joy run, right? You know, like with cars, and they've just abandoned it on the highway and taken the plates, went, fuck bow. It was teenagers, mate.
The cops have turned up, taken the plates, stuck some tape on it, and it sits there for fucking 3 months and you drive past it every day. Like, are you going to move it?
Until they find the owner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly what's happened. There was no sign of anybody aboard, and there was no signs of any sort of violence or anything like that. There was just fucking police tape everywhere, but we ignored that. It was fine.
So two of the Ellen Austin's crewmen, not the captain, just two of the crewmen, inspected the abandoned ship's hold and reported it contained a well-packed shipment of mahogany.
So yeah. If they were robbed, they should have taken that, definitely. Like, if there was pirates, then they would have taken that.
They suspect, because at that time, the 1800s, the mahogany came from Honduras, so it was actually really hard to get. So for a whole ship to be full of mahogany was, like, a big find.
Wow.
Yeah, so Captain Baker speculated the schooner had likely been sailing from Honduras, possibly bound for England or the Mediterranean port, before something, like, convinced the crew to evacuate quickly. Like, he speculated. He had no idea.
The ship is lava.
Yeah, yeah.
The ship is lava. Run! Oh, I've made a huge mistake.
So the circumstances were indeed curious. However, the captain was intrigued by the salvage opportunity of this otherwise fine ship. Board that ship!
Yes, yoink.
Yeah. So he said, board that ship. I want a crew of my best men to sail it to New York. Baker instructed his prize crew to follow the Ellen Austin and sail this derelict to New York. Within hours, Captain Baker's prize crew had the vessel sorted and on its way. For the next 2 days, things proceeded perfectly fine, not an issue. The ships sailed on calm waters within earshot of each other, you know, so they could yell at, hello there.
And so they could, you know, throw shit at each other when they were bored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But, typical office, you know.
Yeah. He's paper plane.
Just paper clips, you know, just fucking bulldog clips, chuck them at people. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Love that. things went to shit on the third day, which is usually the case. You get two good days, and the third day, you just fucking had enough of everyone. So I understand.
Everything goes tits up on the third day.
Yeah. The ships were separated by a fierce Atlantic storm, which was a side effect of the hurricane, which was at the time tearing through Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia.
Jesus.
Yeah. Days of relentless pounding separated the two ships and contact was completely lost. After 2 days, the skies opened and the seas returned to calm. Visibility actually extended for miles and there was an odd quietness, as there usually is after a storm. It was completely flat. Absent from the horizon, though, was this derelict ship. The vessel and the captain's prize crew had disappeared. The Alan Austin had been separated from the abandoned vessel for some time before it was spotted once again by one of the Alan Austin's lookouts. Through a spyglass, the captain could barely see the sails of the derelict ship. For some reason, it didn't seem to be following any course, which makes no sense because it should have had... Like, it had a prize crew on it. It should be steady. Instead, it was drifting aimlessly. Baker ordered his ship to change course so that it could intercept, and those on board the Alan Austin knew something was wrong. The abandoned vessel was reportedly sailing so erratic, it took hours to catch up to it.
Huh.
Yeah. When the Alan Austin closed in on the other ship, the captain and his men attempted to hail the ship, but no answer came. So they yelled out, hello there, GTF. Nothing. Fucking nothing. So Baker assembled an inspection team, and they quickly rowed over. And again, the men boarded with guns drawn. Of the prize crew, they found nothing. No one was on board. The cargo hold was still full and everything else was in order. There was no sign of Baker's crew. Like, no food rations were missing. The bunks had not been slept in. The new logbook, gone.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was as if the first encounter between the Alan Austin and this derelict ship never happened.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the crew of the Alan Austin, now convinced that derelict was fucking cursed.
Wow. There's no other way to explain it at this point. It's just fucking cursed, obviously.
Yeah. They wanted to abandon it at sea. And, we've all been there.
Dude, I'm surprised they wanted to abandon it. I would have taken the mahogany and set the fucking thing on fire.
Yeah.
with a note strapped to it. You're a cunt. Bye.
Right.
You ate my crew. You're a cunt. Bye.
I'm with you on that. But the captain, Baker, he was still keen to cash in on this potential salvage. So, I mean, he didn't know what happened on board the vessel, but he knew the likelihood of it happening again was severely unlikely, statistically unlikely. Well, so we thought. It took hours of careful negotiation for Captain Baker to convince his superstitious seaman to consider making another attempt. The crew feared something evil was at play.
Well, I don't disagree with him at this point.
Either.
It's fucking haunted, Captain. That's a no from me.
I mean, at this point in the world history, if you went to a doctor and said, oh, I'm not feeling too well, he says, oh, you have ghosts in your blood. Here, have some cocaine. You know? Yeah,
see, I really don't understand why I wasn't born in 1980. What was it, 1950-something? No,
I don't understand why I wasn't born in 1980. Like, it's clearly just
1880.
Yeah. 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 So, Baker reasoned with them. There was no rational explanation for the disappearance. Basically, he was a U-Rainy.
Look, we don't know. Just fucking get in there. Yeah.
Just get in there. The ship is full of mahogany. Do you know how much money we can fucking make? Just get the fuck on there. So to keep the fears of the crewmen at bay, the captain said to follow at a distance of no more than 10 ship lengths, and he allowed the men to carry firearms.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, yeah. The second crew was assembled and eventually convinced to undertake the daunting assignment.
And they had firearms. Like, I don't know how that's going to help you.
I know. And especially since you've got to get, like, that pokey stick, right?
And you then the gunpowder.
You're just like, hold on, bad guy. I've just got to pour this powder in. Fucking stamp it down. No, just wait.
Wait. Give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Stamp this down, and then I can shoot you.
No, I got to set the thing on fire first because I've got to set the, you know, I've got to light the fire so then it has the explosion. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I knew I should have fucking bolted on the pointy thing at the end of my rifle this morning.
I knew I should have done this before I left the house.
God damn it. Where's my bayonet? Fucking Frank, he borrowed it again. God damn it.
Fucking Frank. So this second crew, like, as they readied the derelict for sailing back to New York, the weather again turned inclement. This time, a dense fog actually settled across the water. So it reduced the visibility. Like, they were expecting to be within 10 ships. They couldn't see feet in front of them. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So, again, they lost sight of the second ship, of the derelict ship. The seas were not treacherous. It was just poor visibility. And the Alan Austin was actually brought to a standstill. For hours, the men tried to peer through the fog, scanning the waters. When the fog actually started to lift, the lookout was the first to shout, "She's gone." Well, being the lookout, like, if he wasn't the lookout, he's gone, he's fired.
Look, it's happened so many times when Sarah's been the lookout, okay? She was not the first to report the disturbance, so, you know.
So, as the legend goes, the Ellen Austin never witnessed the derelict nor, like, its second prize crew again. Captain Baker.
I love this because the dude would just be looking at the back of the ship and go, and she's gone.
Just gone again. Yeah. And, so they actually continued on to New York. They gave up. They just gave up. Where it arrived somewhat late in February of 1881. Just a little bit.
Look, we were stalking a boat and then it took two lots of our fucking crew, okay? Like, what do you want from us?
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, the Alan Austin actually never resumed packet ship service. Later that year, she was sold to a German company and renamed the Meta. Then she actually met her fate 2 years later in 1883. She was reportedly wrecked along the American coast while under the command of Captain A.J. Griffin.
A.J. Griffin. Captain of the Meta.
Yeah, this mystery ship that came out of the Bermuda Triangle clearly didn't want to leave the fucking place. Kept fucking going back, taking people with it. Like,
I don't think they had much of a choice. There was like a main freight channel through there. It still is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, it's never been, the story's never been solved.
And can I just point out too that around, well, it would have been earlier than that, but this is where that whole thing of like Pirates of the Caribbean came from, because yeah. there was merchant ships going through there. There really yeah. was pirates through there.
Yeah, Captain exactly.
Hook, which is Peter Pan, that whole thing. That's all yeah. actually set in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and which is why they sat there and watched the ship for 2 days, because
pirates.
Yeah, they could have been pirates. Yeah,
could have been Captain Hook.
Global warming, because there's not enough piracy. We covered this. Yes.
Giant flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, he exactly. will tell you.
Oh god.
So yes, that's my story.
Nice.
None of us did planes. It's so funny. We all went with yeah. ships.
Yeah.
How funny was that? We do not, just listeners, we do not tell each other what we're doing before we get to an episode. We literally get to the episode and like, ooh, you're doing that.
Like we give each other a topic so that we yeah. don't double up, but yeah, we don't tell each other about what the thing is. So this is yeah. as new to us as it is to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also 150.
No, U-boats in Germany were only carrying 35 at the time, so there is no way.
Where did
way
you find that information?
On the internet in 5 seconds.
I fucking read through so much shit about freaking German submarines. And
no,
I couldn't find,
no,
couldn't find
being
that number.
Silent my entire fucking segment.
Yeah, okay. So, mate, if
so
German U-boats...
I had so much fun researching this topic, as I did with other topics over the last few weeks.
That's my line, but I'm
however,
still on these submarines, okay?
We would love some topic suggestions, fucking Sarah,
from our fucking Sarah.
If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWiFi@gmail.com.
So yes. To everyone who has listened to this, yeah, I'm back here. But I'm
guess
still going to go on later to the submarine.
Back again.
Sarah's back.
Tell them
friends.
I have none, neither do they, so it's fine. Yeah, we would like to thank each and every one of you for listening to our utter rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know anything about German submarines, please let me know. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm about to school your shit. Give me
yeah.
5 minutes.
Look, I read so much about them, but, you know, even their fucking capacities on, you know, fuel. But, hey.
Oh, and then it has like a dash and there's a number. Like, I don't know how you missed this, but anyway.
I've read about them, but anyway. So do not take any of the facts discussed in this topic to make important life decisions mm-hmm. because you're just going to be wrong.
Yeah. Probably don't like necessarily sail around the area of the yeah. triangle if you don't
yeah,
know what
unless it is in relation to sailing around the Bermuda Triangle looking at Christmas lights or karting, whatever you're karting. Just don't go to the Bermuda Triangle, people. You know the aliens are going to come get you, okay?
Or the methane yeah. gas bubbles, but whatever.
Or, you know, the fart rivers.
The fart rivers.
The fart rivers. Methane gas just is just farts.
But that's
from
not
cows.
Forever,
oh
anyway.
My god, that's why the ships with the cows on
yes.
the moon. Yeah, yep. That makes
that was my
sense.
Joke about the cow.
You just got that now? Oh, fuck. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to what
oh
Amy
my
said.
God.
To like never pay attention
my
to
whole jokes. Every single one of them. You only got it now, it's 2 hours ago. Right.
I thought about the methane gas and the farts. I mentioned farts earlier, but I wasn't listening to Amy.
Yeah, but that was the whole point of the cows, like painting them like cows because they like methane. Oh, fuck, Jesus.
I just thought, you know, cows because aliens are obsessed with cows.
No, mate. Oh,
they
God.
Are, though.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your night.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.